Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Download more sermons or learn about the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene at our website, capenazarene.org. Here's this week's message.
Our Old Testament reading for today comes from Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and even our livestock die out of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Walk on ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled, and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The word of the Lord. So just to put this passage in a little bit of context. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about Adam and Eve and how it was the creation of the entire world. And then last week, we talked about Abram and how he was promised that he would see the creation of God's specific people. And he did. His descendants, the Israelites, were the promise that God had made to Abram. Through his sons and through his grandsons, we see the creation of God's people. And we see that out of the 12 tribes of Israel, out of Jacob's 12 sons, Joseph would be taken to Egypt. And there he would be made second only to Pharaoh. And he would save his family. And so they would move to Egypt and they would be taken care of. But eventually, the pharaohs forgot what Joseph and his family did. And so they enslaved the Israelite people. And this is, we find this passage shortly after some of that. The Israelites had been enslaved. They were in a land not their own, as a people not their own. And so God, through Moses, helped to free them. They were freed of Pharaoh's reign. In Exodus 1 through 13, we see the well-known story of the children of Israel and their flight from Egypt, how they finally escaped, how God had heard the suffering of his people, and how Moses was sent to rescue them and to bring them free and to get them out of Egypt and to take them to the promised land. We see that 10 plagues had occurred, and that Pharaoh constantly battling with his heart being hardened and then pretending to get better and then his heart being hardened again and maybe getting better and his heart being hardened. And this constant struggle, we see them finally escape to the point where they're at the Red Sea and Moses separates it and the Israelites cross into the desert and the Egyptian army is finished. And in Exodus 15, we see Moses and his sister Miriam singing jubilant songs of victory. At the end of that chapter, God turned the bitter waters of Marah into sweet water that was drinkable. And so we see continually up to this point that God had continually provided for the Israelites. They were enslaved and God set them free. They were pursued by the Egyptian army, and God stopped the army. They were in a land where the water was bitter, and God turned it into something drinkable. And in Exodus 16, right before this passage, we see that God gave the people manna, bread from heaven, and when that wasn't enough, he gave them quail. He gave them meat from heaven. God had continually shown that he was providing for his people. And then we get to chapter 17. And I love the Israelites. And maybe that's because they remind me of me. But they are extremely forgetful people. I think that might go for a lot of us, that we see something happen, God do something, and then we forget about it. And so we come to this passage in chapter 17, where Israel sets out once again. They're continually on the move to the promised land. And so they're on their way, and they're going, and they decide to camp out. And as they're camping there and as they're setting up, they realize, we don't have any water. We're in a desert, and we don't have any water. Now, I don't know about you all, but I'm imagining if I was in the desert and I didn't have any water, it wouldn't take very long for me to get irritable. I feel like I'd be pretty annoying pretty quickly. You know, I think I'm a little spoiled in life that I can just... When I'm thirsty, I can go to the fridge and get a Coke Zero, or I can turn on the tap and pretty set. So I imagine if I was one of the Israelites, it would be after about an hour of walking in the hot sun, I'd be like, all right, I've had enough of this. I need some water. And that's where we find the Israelites. They're in the desert, and they're thirsty. And they're asking, all right, where's the water? Give us something to drink now. And maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think I am given the history of Israel. But it seems that the Israelites were starting to doubt God. They had seen all that God had done, and yet they find themselves once again saying, what's going on? And so Moses asked him the question, why do you put the Lord your God to the test? I'm imagining at least one of them responded with, I'm putting the Lord my God to the test because I'm thirsty. Where's the water? And it makes sense to me. They were thirsty, and they started to wonder, why did God take us from Egypt? Yeah, things weren't the best there. To be honest, Egypt kind of stunk. It wasn't really that fun. But at least we had water and food. It kind of makes me wonder if they were thinking, the devil I know is better than the devil I don't. Yeah, the desert is kind of tough, and we don't know what's coming next. We don't know where we'll get this water. Yeah, God told us to come here, but we don't know what's next. At least in Egypt, we knew where we were going to get our food and water. We knew what was coming, even though it was awful. We knew what was there. And so there the Israelites are. They're thinking, yeah, Mara, that place where God provided us with sweet water, that place where bread from heaven rained down, that place where we were able to roast quail and our bellies were full. Yeah, it's just a distant memory. They were good while they lasted, but that was then, and this is now. And we're a pretty forgetful people. And I don't fault the Israelites. I don't blame them. I would like to, but I don't think I'm much different from them. I think it's often easy to forget the way that God has provided. I think it's often easy to not notice how God is currently providing. Even when God has done some pretty cool acts of provision, after a little bit of time, it's not hard to forget. And maybe it's just me, but I think time has a way of nullifying the good times. That when things are rough, I think time makes it easy to forget that God was with us in the good. But one thing I like about God, well, there's lots of things I like about God, but one of the things I like about God is that I think God realizes that we're forgetful creatures. I don't think this shocks God at all. I don't think God is like, ah, oh, they forgot again. I think God is up there going, yep. I think there's a reason God compares us to sheep. Sheep are not very bright, and they just kind of wander. And I think that's often how we are. We just kind of wander sometimes. And so after the Israelites are crying out in their forgetfulness of the provision that God has given them, after they have just experienced some of the most miraculous events in history, and they're walking in a hot desert for a few days and they're getting thirsty, and they're getting to the point where they're complaining and they're quarreling, and so God says to Moses, go hit that rock. I'll be there, and water will come from it. I'll be fine. Just go do it. And so water comes out of it, and the people were sustained. They had water to drink. God had provided for them in a miraculous way once again. And so as I was thinking about this week, there was a few things I was thinking about, and one of them was, you know those people that always trust God? Those people that never seem to have any doubts? Those people that never seem to question the way God does things? I'll be honest with you right now, I'm not one of those people. I often am lacking in faith and lacking in trust of God. I often have doubts. I don't know if I'm supposed to admit that as a pastor, but I will. I often have doubts about God and the way he does things and some of his ways. And there's times when I look at God and I go, really? Really? And God looks back at me and he goes, really? Really? And so I'm one of those people that I doubt. Thomas is... The Apostle Thomas is one of my favorite apostles. I think he gets given a bad rap. But he asked for proof. And I think I'm often in that category as well, where although God has provided for me in miraculous ways throughout my life, I look at God and I say, show me, or prove it. I often have questions with God. I've often asked God, are you sure? Which then I think is kind of silly, because I mean, he's omnipotent and omniscient and he's all-knowing and he's all-powerful. And here am I, who am not very powerful, and I'm only limited knowing, asking God if he was sure. There's times where I've asked God, all right, God, are you with me or not? Where are you at, God? What's going on? And I think it's because, like the Israelites, I'm one of those people that forget that God has and God is sustaining me. God has sustained me thus far in my life. And I believe, even though sometimes I doubt, that God will continue to sustain me. And I know that. I know that God will sustain me. But sometimes I forget it. And sometimes I doubt it. But when I'm in those situations, I think of something that one of my professors at NTS said, I think it was two summers ago, and it was a line that has stuck with me and I believe it will stick with me until my dying days. What he said was, it is important for us to put our faith in Christ. It is important for us to put our faith in God, not to put our faith in our faith. Because oftentimes our faith, like the Israelites, can be kind of weak. It can be doubting. It can be questioning. But what's important is putting our faith in Christ, knowing that Christ has provided and Christ will provide. That like the Israelites in the desert, God provided for them and God will continue to provide for them. And I think at times this is something we don't talk enough about in the church. I was asked yesterday at my district licensing interview, what is a problem that I see in the church? Why is it that people my age are not attracted to the church? And part of what I thought about was the fact that a lot of my friends have doubts. A lot of my friends have questions. And so they feel like they're not welcomed. That we think we've got to know it all, or that we've got to have it set. And I don't think that's the case at all. And I also don't think that God was angry with the Israelites here. I don't think that God was angry with them for doubting, and I don't think he was angry with them for questioning. Just like I don't think he gets angry with us when we have doubts and or questions. They asked the question of God, are you among us or not? And I don't think God responded in anger. I think he responded in grace. He called them to the rock with water that would sustain them. In fact, when we think of God's anger, we don't see God getting angry with the Israelites, as dumb as they were, as much as they were constantly forgetting and constantly questioning and constantly going, all right, we know you're God, but are you sure? As much as they did that, we don't see God getting angry with them until they turned and they built a false idol. And so I think God is okay with the questions, are you among us or not? But it was when they said, okay, we're going to say you're not, that God got angry. And I think part of that may be because God does provide for us, even when we might not notice it. And so as I was thinking about this passage this week, and as I was sitting at my desk and preparing, one of the things that I kept thinking was, what about when we cry out to God? What about when we cry out to God, are you among us or not? And it doesn't seem like we get any water from that rock. I know there's been times where I've cried out, where I've asked God, are you here or not? And it didn't always seem like I got a response. How do we deal with that? How do we deal with the provisions of God when it doesn't seem like there's water coming from that rock? So one thing I'm thankful for is that I have pastoral colleagues and friends. I am thankful that I do not do this on my own. And so one of the things I did was I asked some of them to help me think through this. How do I read this text when I don't always see water coming from the rock? And so to my friends Tim, not the Tims down at South Portland, but my friend Tim from Kansas City, and to my friend Annie, if you guys happen to be listening to this later, thank you. They helped to give me some insight on how I can think about this. One of the things that was mentioned, and I've kind of mentioned it a few times now, is God providing for us even when we don't realize it. I imagine wandering around the desert for 40 years could not have been easy. yet somehow Israel made it to the promised land. I don't know if they could always name it, but they could say that God was providing for them. You don't wander around a desert for 40 years without the provision of God. And then I think about the rock and the water they drank from. And one of the questions I started thinking about and talking with them about was, when Moses hit the rock, was it a stream that flowed out? Was it like a waterfall happening? Were they able to shower in it? Was it just absorbent amounts of water? That's not the right word. Exuberant amount of water? Was it just water flowing? And that's kind of the graphic I use, because that's what I first thought, was this water just flooding out. But then I thought, well, what if it wasn't a flood coming from the rock? What if it was just a little bit of water that dripped? And the Israelites had to put their buckets underneath it and collect the water over time. That it was just enough to get them by until they could get to the next part of their journey. And I can't give you an answer. I wasn't there. I'm not sure. But I think when we put ourselves in that story, that it varies. I think sometimes when we're there, when we're asking God, are you among us? And God says, go to the rock. Get some water. I think sometimes it is a stream, that it's just an exuberant amount of water that is more than we could drink. And I think sometimes it's just a little bit of drip where we cup our hands underneath it and take our fill and continue on the journey. One of the things that Tim said to me that definitely hit me was, God provides for us, even if it's not in a way that makes us happy. But it's enough. God provided when they cried out, but they were still in the desert. That was one of the things my friend Tim kept hitting on, was God provided, but they were still in the desert. When we cry out, God, are you among us? And we're not sure if he's answering, maybe it's because we're still in the desert. And that's not a bad thing. God is still providing, and God is still leading, and God is still guiding, until one day we too will get to the promised land. Things in the desert weren't the greatest. At least I would imagine they weren't. But I think they knew that God was providing somehow, some way, even if it didn't always seem like it. I think they knew in their hearts that somehow God is getting us through this. And so today I want to remind you that God is indeed providing, even if it might just be drips of water that we need to cup our hands under. Who knows, maybe it might be streams, but I know for me often it's the drips of water where I can just say, all right, I've got enough to go to the next thing. I also want to remind you that God is okay with us asking, are you here and are you with us or not? I think God is big enough for our questions, at least how I'm thinking about this right now. When God does just give us the drips, I think God is okay with us asking and looking up and saying, really? I know you promised water, but I was expecting a little more. I think God's okay with that. Sometimes I think we forget just how much God has provided for us. And I think God is big enough to handle our forgetfulness. Sometimes we wonder how we're going to make it to the next thing. And I think God is big enough for us to wonder. I think part of the story of salvation is simply that God is among us and God is for us. Even when we wonder, even when we doubt, even when we're in the desert and we're quarreling because we're thirsty and we can't see where the water's coming from next. I think when we look to God and say, "Are you among us or not?" I think God responds with, "Yeah, here, have some water." Would you pray with me? Almighty and everlasting God, you are indeed a God of compassion and love. Time after time, we've experienced your care and your provision. Time after time, you've answered our prayers and you've met our needs, oftentimes in ways that we could have never dreamed possible. And so we praise you for your faithful love towards us, because we have known your love, and we have been able to come to you in confidence, and we have been able to come to you in doubt. And we are able to offer you our prayers for the world that you love. So God, when it seems that we in the world are thirsty, we can ask you, "Are you among us or not?" And we thank you that you respond with, "Yes, here's some water." We thank you for the times when it is a flowing stream and we can drink in as much as we want. But we also thank you for the times when it's just enough to get by, just enough to continue on the journey, just enough to get to the next thing that you want us at. Because we know when your kingdom comes in full, when it is truly heaven on earth, we know that there the stream of the river of life flows, where we can drink and where we can rejoice and where we can splash around, for we know that day is coming. God, thank you for providing. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. May God richly bless you as you serve him today.